Hello and welcome to this edition of Storyline, a podcast of Annenberg Radio News and the Media Center at USC's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. I'm Matt Tinoco. Today, we'll hear about the decline of the traditional American barbershop, and we'll look at why the popularity of men's briefs is surging. But first, an exploration into the untranslatable, and liminal world of words that simply can't be neatly translated from one language into another. Camille Requiestas looks deeper into a Filipino word with no English equivalent, one that captures the nervous, anxious feeling of butterflies in your stomach.
You know that area between your diaphragm and like where your heart sets?
Chelsea David is 25 years old, and she's describing how she felt that butterflies in your stomach feeling for her boyfriend, James.
It like feels fuzzy, and it feels like a numbing sensation right there, and you kind of just have to like hold your breath to like handle it. Kind of like when you're going down a roller coaster super fast and your, like, stomach flies up into your chest. I was like,
Everyone has most probably felt this feeling sometime in their life, or is at least familiar with the idea of it. But what do you call it? Is there an actual word in English to satisfy this feeling? There are a group of words, but not one single word. Ella Frances Saunders, author of Lost in Translation, stumbled upon one such word, and it happens to be one I'm familiar with. There's only one word that I know that can fully summarize the feelings of having butterflies in your stomach, and it's not in English. The word is kilig, a Filipino word that I've grown accustomed to hearing. Usually girls say it in romantic situations, like a crush noticing them, or when their date surprises them with flowers.
Dayrit gives us her take on the word kilig.
My definition of kilig is it's a feeling that makes you physically, you physically change, like your voice changes. Your cheeks start to hurt because you keep smiling. You start to sweat sometimes. It's a very hard feeling to explain and to put into words because only you can be the one to feel it.
James Cerizo has been dating David for 5 years now, and he says he still feels kilig.
I just felt a bunch of loving emotions inside of me. The rest is history.
David and Cerizo are first-generation Filipino-Americans, and they say they can see distinct cultural differences when it comes to the rules of romance and love.
Filipinos in general can be like hopeless romantics. I mean, look at all the stuff that they put on their shows or their movies. Like their romance movies are like over the top cheesy that will never happen in person. It's so different. And in the Philippines, it probably like gives this whole persona or view on romance to like young adults of how it should be or how it will be for them when they meet someone.
It's just the way people communicate too, you know? Yeah, I think there's a huge cultural difference. You're supposed to come over and pick up the girl, take her out and have her back at, you know, a certain time.
Perhaps this is why the Philippines has one word that culminates all the romantic feelings a person can feel at once. It is definitely easier than trying to explain in English. No matter what the word is, for David and Cerizo, they're just happy that they can still feel kilig with each other after all this time.
I see you!
you weirdo!
Camille Requiestas, Annenberg Radio News.
Back in the old days, you didn't just go to a barbershop to get a haircut. You went for the conversation, the camaraderie, and the chummy good time of just hanging out with the group. But these days, it's becoming a lot harder to find those spinning red and blue poles. Pushed to hard times, a lot of LA's old barbershops are closing down. Sari Zahedi reports from two in South Los Angeles that are working to keep that culture alive.
Barbers at Magnificent Brothers Number One Barbershop are busy with customers.
Well, with this haircut, I cut it down a little bit, so I use the clippers to cut it down a little bit to save time. To refine the haircut, I go over with the scissors.
That was Sammy Ross. He's been cutting hair for 45 years at the shop.
They ain't really hip to use it.
All they know is the clippers is zip, zip, zip. It takes a pro to do what he's doing now.
Marvin Smith has been going to Ross to get his haircut for the last 10 years.
He knows how I want it cut, so I just come and sit down.
Magnificent Brothers opened in 1963 on Crenshaw Boulevard. Through the years, Ross says it's more than his skills with the scissors that keeps his customers coming back.
For me, it's no problem. I'm a good barber. I call myself as being a good barber and a good friend and a good counselor. We have to listen to a lot of stories, you know.
Since Magnificent Brothers opened, the shop has been known for cutting natural hairstyles for the African-American community. But owner Chris Cullins remembers the days when the shop was much busier. Cullins started helping at the shop when he was just 11 years old in 1968.
See, at one time, this place here was standing room only, by appointment only. That's how crowded it was because there was nowhere to get your natural cut except for at Magnificent Brothers.
But today, traditional barber shops like Magnificent Brothers are vanishing. The latest U.S. Census report found that there are only about 3,700 barbershops compared to over 80,000 beauty salons in the country. Most of these shops compete with modern unisex salons and are open in older commercial districts that are redeveloping. Leonard Mitchell has observed the trend of barbershop closings as neighborhoods evolve in Los Angeles. Mitchell is executive director at the Center for Economic Development at the University of Southern California.
Costs are going up for barbershops generally. Gentrification is a factor in raising costs.
And often, barbershop owners can't afford the rising costs. Mitchell says those that stay open still have to keep up with the competition.
They stay open because they are offering or tend to offer the right thing that customers want. That is, kinds of skills the barbers have, environment.
The environment at Magnificent Brothers is what Chris Cullins says is central to keeping his shop alive.
They all congregate about what's going on in their lives with their barbers, or what's going on in the world from their opinion and their point of view. People come in and say, yeah, did you hear what her? Listen to Bill Cosby, that is terrible. Do y'all really believe that? And some people say, oh, I don't know, I gotta see.
The conversation is what Magnificent Brothers customers say they love too.
It's comfortable, you know, homey.
It's a place for people to learn, to vent. You feel safe when you're in a barbershop because it's something that you know.
As more people go to modern unisex salons instead of barbershops to cut their hair, Cullen sees a loss of tradition.
It's not that comfortable feeling that goes natural with the barbershop world.
But at South LA's M Barbering Shop, owner Maurice Manley is working to keep that feeling alive in his four-year-old shop.
There's always conversation, even if the conversation is between the barber and the client.
My question is,
that's what makes up kind of the culture, the ideal culture of a barbershop. The culture of barbering is not lost. The reason why they're closing is because of their business practices.
Customers agree. Several, like Trell Huffman, say they prefer the updated style of Manley's shop.
He's fast, he's courteous. I think it's better. It's more professional. Everyone has to evolve, and they haven't seen that yet.
Still, Chris Cullen says the traditional style of Magnificent Brothers is what makes the shop special.
We're like Heinz ketchup, you know. We got a name. People gonna come here. I don't care how many barbershops is up and down the street. They're gonna come to Magnificent Brothers.
As the barbershop industry evolves and neighborhoods continue to change in Los Angeles, barbers both old and new are striving to carry on the culture of the traditional barbershop for years to come. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
Walter White was never without them, and Captain Underpants saved the world in them. But modern American men have always been somewhat stigmatized against men's briefs. Now, however, more men are embracing that old, snug-fitting style of the tidy whitey. Matt Levin has this report.
30 years later, and it looks like Marty McFly is still a trendsetter.
I've never seen purple underwear before, Calvin.
Calvin, why do you keep calling me Calvin?
Well, that is your name, isn't it? Calvin Klein? It's written all over your underwear.
After decades of sagging behind boxers and other types of underwear, briefs, that most ancient and snug form of men's undergarment, are making a comeback.
We're clearly seeing a major shift from the looser-fitting boxer shorts that were the big part of the growth of the men's underwear industry to the brief business.
That's men's underwear retail guru Marshall Cohen. According to a report released by his market research firm NPD, brief sales are up 23% from last year, which is kind of unprecedented.
Traditionally, the men's market has been like the Rock of Gibraltar. It doesn't move. Men typically will buy the same item year after year after year.
Cohen says millennials are favoring briefs partly because of the popularity of skinny jeans. As for baby boomers, historical shifts in household gender roles are at play.
More men today are buying their own underwear than ever before.
To be clear, we're not talking about boxer briefs. Those own 40% of the market and are by far the most popular men's underwear. We're talking about tidy whities.
Like that, we don't even use that word tidy whities because it's not even our vocab over here. We just say hip briefs, and people want to buy them, and they buy them. So,
Raul Reveles is a sales manager at a Calvin Klein underwear outlet in the City of Commerce, and he knows his product. So you've tried all the underwears?
All of them.
So you've tried the thong?
No, except the thongs. I haven't tried the thongs. I totally forgot all down. Not the thongs.
Because you said you tried all the underwears, yeah. Raul.
Not that one.
It's okay if you have. I'm not saying.
Okay, fine. There was one. It was my 21st birthday weekend in Vegas. I had to try it on, and it was really comfortable. I mean, it had a thick band, really good, you know. It's my party underwear, so, you know, you have to go big in Vegas, right?
Is that true?
Very true.
Raul says the trend of men branching out and trying new underwear is true. He sees it every day at his store, which means that age-old dividing line between men, boxer guys versus briefs guys, doesn't really hold anymore. When somebody walks into the store, can you tell by just his outward appearance and his body language what type of underwear he is currently wearing?
You know what? I have not figured that out yet. Only reason why I say this is because we get random underwears. Like I said, we carry everything. So, yes, you'll probably have a guy like coming in that wears hip briefs, but he ends up walking out with trunks or boxer briefs.
Reporting this story, I couldn't help but be disturbed, and not just by the imagery of Raul's 21st birthday party. Underwear used to be a mindless choice for men. You figured out what was comfortable, and you stuck with it for the long haul. Now it seems like grown men are having an underwear identity crisis. But reassuringly, there is one man I know who firmly knows who he is and what undergarment he wears. One man whose underwear has and will remain tight and white, now and forever.
Your mother and I never had any problems conceiving. And even though that I'm not in boxers.
Wait, why don't we cut this off? Let's just leave it there and let the viewer imagine. My dad has worn tidy whities from JCPenney since the Eisenhower administration, and he's never thought about trying on anything else.
It's very simple as to why I'm still wearing tidy whities. When I was dating your mother, I still was wearing tidy whities, and then she saw me in tidy whities, and she never said a negative thing about tidy whities.
There's also another, more pragmatic reason.
Then I looked at the other underwear, the designer underwear. You get like one underwear for $18. It's like, yeah, f*** that.
But maybe the most compelling reason my dad never changes his underwear is because if he did bring home something different, he'd have to suffer the consequences. So, dad has been wearing the same type of underwear for how long?
Since I've known him.
And what would your reaction be if he's bought new underwear? Like if he came home with like boxer briefs or boxers?
What's wrong with him? I have his cognitive skills tested.
So you would think it was early onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. No. Unless some other woman said, I have to hate your underwear.
For Annenberg Radio News, I'm the person raised by these people.
That's it for this edition of Storyline. We're a podcast of Annenberg Radio News and the Media Center at USC's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. Taylor Haney is our producer, and I'm Matt Tinoco. Thanks for listening.